Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are back. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. As we discuss a little bit of LeBron, and that always gets the blood boiling.
Gets the people going.
It gets the people going. Need more cowbell. And LeBron James says he would be just as dominant if he never went to the Heat. And Chris and I don't disagree, but you definitely have more rings. And I think that if you didn't go to the Heat and have the Heatles nickname and all those types of things, you wouldn't be as big.
Yeah, I definitely think that, like, too, a lot of people were put off by him trying to, like, embrace the villain role when everyone was like, you're not Draymond. Like, you're not a mean guy. Like, why are you trying to? It was just corny. It was like he was being placed in a movie or something, and he was just didn't
and now
fit.
You know, and it just kind of bothers people, I will say, as we start to talk about how the Lakers complained and just teams complaining in general, when LeBron was at the ESPYs and he says, or was it, I think it was after he won the finals MVP for the bubble championship, and he said, give me my dang respect.
Oh, yes.
Right? Yeah. He says that, and then he fake retires, right? And what it is that I think that it's very similar to people, and I would say guys in general, that you hear, and they'll say, I'm an alpha male,
yes.
Right? Most alpha males don't have to say, I'm an alpha male.
Yes, right? Great Game of Thrones quote. No true king has to say he's a king.
Exactly. Yeah. And LeBron continues to try to tell us and explain why he is the best to ever do it. He had the stupid king celebration the crown. And he did it against it was a bad team. It was a bad team. So I don't really understand. I mean, I understand why he does it, but it's also, man, let your game do the talking for you.
Yep.
And he just refuses to do it. He refuses to just let it happen. And to be fair to him, I guess in his opinion, he's chasing a ghost.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing Jordans on my feet right now. If I see somebody wearing LeBrons with jeans, I'm going to tell them you need a makeover. People just don't. It's not it.
Some Zoom soldiers.
Some Zoom soldiers with some jerboas.
Oh,
we're not going crazy with that. Zoom soldiers with some khakis is insane to me.
That's insane.
So you're chasing a ghost.
Your feet.
You know, it's not going to work. You're chasing a ghost. So I understand why he feels like it, but I don't actually think he's helping his case. As we see Frankie Cardicelli in the booth right now. He will be joining us next segment for two segments at 11:15 to talk all things Kings. So the Lakers sent in a note, MLA format, a whole essay,
to
the league about the missed calls against Miami. And the league came back and said, you're tripping.
Yep.
They came back and said, nah, bro, you're good here.
Yeah, this is insane.
Okay, we did not miss anything. There were no missed calls. LeBron goes on to quote tweet and say, the game isn't won or lost in the last 2 minutes. If you know the game, things happen throughout the first, second, and third, and first 10 minutes of the fourth that has major, in all caps, impact on the outcomes. Do you have a problem with teams sending in notes to the league and complaining? I know there was a lot of conversation. There are other ways to do it.
Yep.
I know the flopping with the Lakers, the Warriors didn't. I don't think they sent. Did they send something in, or they just complain? Or Steve Kerr just said something
that one time.
Well, a long time ago.
The league is rigged,
and that still gets used to this day.
It's so great.
Just seeing this. Sorry.
Yeah.
Or watching the game. Sorry. I don't know if it's for money or what. And now you're at the time. Your husband was the reigning MVP.
Yes.
Right? And I get, you know,
in the middle of a 73 and nine season or whatever.
To be fair, the only argument would be, hey, we still want to make money off Jordan.
Yeah.
So we want them to have the best team ever, but ridiculous. So teams are sending things in. If the Sacramento Kings, if it felt like they got, you know, they didn't get a fair shake.
Yeah, which they rarely do.
And which you could be, Kings could send in an essay.
Yes.
Every single game.
Oh, there's a lot of videos that show how the Kings have been mistreated by referees.
So would you mind if, let's say today, things go a little squirrely.
Sure.
And you're thinking, man, this just didn't look right. Okay, even that Warrior game.
Sure.
When the couple fouls, mm-hmm. right, that we didn't necessarily agree with.
Right.
I thought
some non-calls at the end, too. Draymond possibly traveled. I saw a video
and
of
they
that
said
a couple
that was
days
clean.
Later.
They said that. So they sent out a two-minute report anyway.
Yep.
The Lakers sent in something completely different, saying this is all the things that y'all
missed. Second quarters, right.
This is all the things that y'all miss. It's a bit of snitching in a way, but do you mind if the Kings, let's say the Kings lose a game tonight that they need on some bad calls, do you mind the Kings sending anything in? Because the thing is, you can't change the game. You can't change the result.
I think, I mean, as a fan, like, I really wouldn't mind, I should say. I don't know if I care at all either way, but I think, you know, if you really truly feel like you are being disrespected or you're being put in a difficult situation or a more difficult situation based off of calls that you have video evidence of that go wrong for you, I don't have a problem with bringing it to the league's attention. I would have a problem with it if the Lakers then, if they after the game make a statement about it, and then you know, they make a statement about, you know, sending in the film, and then next practice they talk more about how, well, yeah, you know, we're just trying to make sure that we're being officiated fairly, and then after the following game they're continuing to talk about it. It's if you make it a part of the story, it's one thing to, yes, again, behind closed doors, send it into the league and try and get a more even or a more fair whistle, and whether or not they oblige is up to the league or not. But if you're going to make it a whole big deal and say, woe is me, look at us, look how terribly we're being mistreated, when you're the Lakers, nah, get out of here. Get out of here. And I'm looking at it right now. In terms of personal fouls, the Lakers are literally in the middle of the league. Right. They get called for the 17th most fouls in the NBA. There's 30 teams. They're tied. Actually, they're tied.
What about fouls against them? Because that was a whole thing, the free throws with the Lakers in the playoffs. It's just funny to me for the Lakers to complain about anything.
Yeah.
Because they're always in a good position.
Free throw attempts, Lakers are 7th in the NBA right now in free throw attempts.
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about? That's what, like, again, especially when you're the Los Angeles Lakers, you're really going to say the league has it out against you.
Yeah.
Why? Tell me why. Like, again, the Kings could have a reasonable argument for why they could possibly believe that the league has bigger interest in mind than themselves
winning. The Magic, the Pistons.
Totally. When you're the Los Angeles freaking Lakers and you have the second most titles of any team in NBA history, the league is definitely not working against you, especially when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And we saw last year that they were a conference finals team, and I think the league was happy about that and better for it. There's no way. Like, this is a rich kid saying that they want more tax breaks.
Right.
It's like, what else do you want? You're already being fed with the silver spoon. We can't literally give you these results.
Yeah. Entitlement.
Entitlement. That's
entitlement.
Exactly.
The entitled Lakers, everything needs to go our way all the time. And I don't even, and maybe it's because it's LeBron, I don't even see these reports that much about other teams sending in reports to say,
actually do the paperwork is crazy.
In a regular season game. So
we're at game seven.
We're at game seven. And on top of that, like we said, you can't change the result. So that's just, hey.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we're the Lakers. Yeah.
It's like the Mavericks contesting that game last year against the Warriors. I don't know if you remember that, but it was like, what exactly, like you're saying, like, you're not going to change the results. They're not going to go back and start the game in the end of the third quarter and replay it from that point on. You're just kind of doing it to prove a point, and I don't really know what that point is.
I remember we got to get to a break. Franco Cardicelli up next.
Hey, that should be his rap name, Franco.
Frankie Cardicelli
Franco
up next.
Cardicelli
Sacktown
goes
Sports
hard.
Kings Insider. And I remember a couple years ago when James Harden, remember he made a bucket and it whipped around, and it the ref said that it popped out, but it went in the basket and then like came around the other side, and they got the L. They got the L, so it is what it is. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 10th official show. We are in the double digits.
Hey.
And we are just getting started, just growing, just improving every single day. We're just in the gym. We're just getting our hacks in. That's what we do. We're doing work when the lights aren't on, okay? Because that's when you really get better. And that's what Frankie Cardicelli does as Ooh. Well, our Sactown Sports Kings insider. So, Frankie, before the break, I called you Franco, and then Frankie comes in and says back home, they all call me Franco. I had a feeling.
It's a thing. No, it's Franco, Cardo, Frank. And people don't really call me Frankie, which I have to explain to people sometimes, but okay. It's like just how I guess I see myself. I don't really think I'm a Frank yet. I think that's my grandpa.
Definitely for your like mature age. When you're like 45 up, that's Frank.
And we were at a dinner for a wedding a couple weeks ago, and I introduced myself to someone that was, you know, someone's dad or something, and he's like, "How old are you?" I said, 29. He's like, "You probably got about another year of going by that, son.
Frankie.
You might want to change that to Frank." I'm, man.
Stop it.
It works better. It works better.
Well, still have you're a smoothie right now, no facial hair. So I think you can go Frankie until you decide, hey, I'm going to rock the goatee or whatever. That's how I see it.
You guys have the beard games on point here.
You can get a mustache. Mustache would definitely be Frank.
Mustache or Frank.
That's Frank.
That's all I can fully grow is a mean, maybe it's an Italian thing, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's a
mean mustache. I think it's a Frank thing.
Whenever you decide to go that route, you will be Frank.
Yeah.
Okay, I might have to, I don't know if I have to put like Rogaine on my face to grow facial hair.
You might never be Frank.
I might never be Frank.
Which is, you know, this worse things than looking young, Frankie.
That's all right, I'll survive.
There you go. So let's hope the Kings survive and get a W. Jeez. Tonight, we were joking around about the Blazers roster and what we would do, talking about shaving eyebrows and eating chocolate bagels with jalapeno cream cheese if they lose. But then all of a sudden, Frankie, I'm going to be honest, you look at the roster, and the Blazers, in terms of the West, that's a stacked West, and the Blazers are missing a couple of their big guys today. They're missing Scoot Henderson. They're missing Robert Williams. They're missing Ish Wainwright. And they are also missing
Anfernee Simons. Big player there, yeah.
So the Kings are favored by 8, right? So I don't know if I would take that, and I don't really care. I just want a Kings W. How should Kings fans feel about the Kings going into tonight?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely too early to be, in my opinion. I mean, you can feel the way you want to feel, fan however you want to fan. I'll never tell you how to fan, but I personally feel it's too early to be concerned. I think there are reasons to kind of, you know, players keep an eye on, but 6 games in the last season, the Kings were also 2-4. I mean, and that was after an 0-4 start. So I think they were 3-6 after 9 last year. So you don't like losing games. It's never fun to lose games or watch the Kings, who were so much fun last year, kind of sputter out of the gates here, and not much beams, obviously. So that's never fun for the fans. But I think tonight, on paper, which I guess you can say the same thing for the Houston games, but it's another opportunity to kind of see if these guys can find the bottom of the net. And I'm looking mostly at Keegan Murray, who's shooting 26% from 3 right now. Mm-hmm. Kevin Huerter, his struggles have been well documented. He seemed like he was kind of coming out of that stretch against the Lakers, and he kind of fell back into another rough stretch, and obviously the whole team did in Houston, granted. But the good thing is there's a lot of room for improvement. And that is honestly something I think Matt Barnes said yesterday with Whitey and Draper, that it's kind of like a perfect storm of your best player is out in De'Aaron Fox, who's averaging 30 points per game. Then all of the guys that are starting are struggling. And by all of them,
that
I mean
does not happen.
All of them are struggling.
Right.
And maybe not in the same area for everybody. I mean, Harrison Barnes has had, I think he's 2 rebounds per game right now. That's a concern, but there's a lot of room for improvement, and that's a good thing.
Alan was talking about yesterday, and I think it's a great, I really do believe it as well. Do you like the fact that, I mean, of course it sucks that De'Aaron's not able to go tonight. Clearly the team needs him, but in a way, isn't it, I don't want to say good, I'm trying to pick the right word, but it's not the worst thing that De'Aaron's not back, because part of me really does want to see this group figure it out. And it kind of feels like this group kind of has to figure it out, because they're going to have to win without De'Aaron. Like, it doesn't, they should not, if De'Aaron Fox is this important to this team, that's not a good sign for things. So is it not the worst thing that De'Aaron's not going to be able to go again tonight?
I mean, timing's everything, right? And I feel like when you look at the time of the year this is happening, and that was something we wondered a lot last year, what would the Kings be like if they lost Fox or Sabonis for a long stretch? And we thought we were going to see it when Sabonis broke his hand, didn't happen, but we're seeing it with Fox right now. In 4 games, it's felt like an eternity because, again, the starting lineup has just not worked. And I'm kind of putting a lot of emphasis on Davion Mitchell, who is in his 3rd year, and his splits as a starter have decreased over the past couple of seasons. He was very strong as a starter in his rookie year, but that was at the end of the season when I believe De'Aaron had COVID and missed the final 8-9 games, and he averaged like 18-8 over those final 8 games.
That,
and picked up the Davion stock was high. And we know what he can bring on the floor as a defender, but the Kings offense, and this isn't just Davion's fault, but he is the head of a snake as the point guard. He's bringing the ball down. They've looked just completely out of sync, and they're forcing three-pointers late in the shot clock. They're not running crisp sets on offense. The passing has gone down. I think they're 28 assists down to 21 without De'Aaron. Literally, De'Aaron, the hole that he left behind. I think you talked about it, the offense yesterday. They're down 30 points in offense. De'Aaron averages 30 points per game. They're down 7 assists, and De'Aaron Fox averages 7 assists. So I'm not asking I don't think anyone's asking for Davion Mitchell to come in and replicate those numbers, but there's just not much that he's bringing to the table right now, and I think he's got to dig deep and see if he can kind of lead this this lineup and starting five in the right direction.
I know we discussed, and we're talking with Frankie Cardicelli, Sactown Sports, Kings insider, and I know we discussed how they got off to a slow start last season, right? But I saw something from Cameron Salerno, and I at least wanted to throw it to you. Now, De'Aaron Fox did play during those games last year that they did lose. But the Kings last season, this is the tweet right here, the Kings last season lost their first six games by a combined total of 35 points. They were competitive in every game. They lost by 18 Saturday and 25 on Monday. They are not competitive. Now, De'Aaron did play in those games, but is it too easy to just say, well, they started off slow last season, which a lot of people are doing because it makes us feel good.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, that's easily, I mean, it's an excuse for how long, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a thing. And right now, yeah, sure. They did start 2-4 last year.
It's a fact.
But if they lose tonight to Portland, who is seen as a lottery team with, again, their whole roster, sans Fox and Lyles, who are big pieces, they're two of your top seven last year. Yeah, that argument or that kind of cushion is going to start to go away.
Yeah.
And I think that it kind of comes down to last year, yeah, those losses were close. Kings played some tight games. They lost a couple. The Kevin Huerter foul, the three-pointer. Yeah. There was a lot of controversy.
The Tyler Hero travel.
Yeah, two of the first six. I know.
Send it into the league.
You're opening up some wounds here, man. I don't want to read another two-minute report after that last year. Made me sick. But these are a lot different. They're getting completely worked. They got embarrassed. Back-to-back games, and could that be a matter of the Kings, who it's been widely said by a lot of people, they're not going to be viewed the same way. They have a target on their backs this year. They're not a surprise. They're not the feel-good story anymore. They're a team that finished third in the West, and they went to the playoffs. No one's going to look at them as, you know, the cute up-and-coming team that's been bad for 16 years. They're going to come after them, and that kind of does change things, and maybe teams have adjusted to their offense and what they're trying to do, but they have too much talent. They have too many good players in that starting five, and it spells the bench with Malik Monk and all those guys that they can't let what happened over the weekend in Houston happen again.
We like to do a blame pie. We did a blame pie yesterday for kind of like who deserves the most blame for why the Kings are playing the way they are right now. To put you on the spot, if you had to give it to one person just in terms of not even necessarily blame, but just with De'Aaron out, it would have been – you would have looked at them to be the ones to step up the most, whether it be Davion directly replacing him, whether it be Keegan, you know, with the jump he's supposed to make this year, or Domantas Sabonis, who had 4 points and was an all-star, all-NBA player last year. Who would you put as the guy that you feel like you're most disappointed hasn't stepped up with De'Aaron out?
I'll say I don't know if I expect this player to be the best, but I'm most disappointed that he hasn't been more aggressive, and it's Harrison Barnes. I mean, that's something
love it.
We've said this all the time. When Harrison Barnes plays well, the Kings play well.
And dry.
Opening game, 16 field goal attempts, 32 points. Great game. He has not taken over 9 field goal attempts since the opening night in Utah. And that, for a guy who's so useful in offense, who can knock down threes, and again, his three-point shooting has not been a concern. He's shooting 38% from three, low volume. But when Harrison Barnes gets downhill and goes into the paint, which the Kings have not been doing much work in the paint, he gets to the foul line, he converts. I mean, he's a good offensive player when he's trying, and it might not be all his fault. I mean, Keegan Murray's taking a lot of shots. Kevin Huerter's trying to work through some things. But tonight, I'd like to kind of see if he can attack. You know, I'm probably Jeremy Grant, who's a tough defender, but just get more involved. See if he can get more involved from HB, because he can be a very useful player when he's on.
Chris is called... We have different – Chris has different variants of Harrison Barnes. So I asked Chris, what is Jeremy Grant? And Chris said, expensive Harrison Barnes. So I do think it'll be a good matchup, because I think Jeremy Grant is better than Harrison Barnes. Chris does not think – Chris thinks
different.
He's better.
They're same, but different.
Right. Better, but not 7 million more different, which is what the difference is in their salaries. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're breaking it down with Frankie Cardicelli, Sactown Sports Kings reporter. Who needs to get benched? That's the question. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, joined by Frankie or Franco.
Hey.
Cardicelli. Oh. Sacktown Sports Kings Insider. So what part of New York are you from? You know, I mean,
right next to Tommy DeVito.
This is actually right. You know what? This actually brings up a good point for me, because I don't know how to explain it. Hang with me here.
Okay.
But he was on UConn, and UConn just won, and it came out.
Gino Auriemma.
No. Oh, and he won Jordan Hawkins. So Jordan Hawkins, really nice. The Pelicans had him, you know, they brought his ring from winning the championship to practice, right?
Interesting.
And I looked at him, and I was trying to remember, you know, his story, because, you know, you watch March Madness, and it all happens so fast. And he just has a look about him. I'm wrong, because he's from Maryland, right? Yeah. But he just looks like he's from New York. just a look about people that Frankie looks like he's from New York. I don't know what it is. He's wearing a Sacktown
Sports. He's a Yankees fan. Yeah, if that helps.
There's a look.
New York Rangers fan.
Am I crazy? If you can look at somebody and say, from New York.
Yeah. How do I do this? Is that...
I didn't even see the chain.
Pulling a chain out for people on the radio.
Look like you're from New York. I met you, and maybe it's the name Frankie.
That status?
I think it's a
what
name.
What is that? Like, that's not racist,
it's
obviously.
It's the name status, as well.
But if my name was like, you know, I don't know, Mark Johnson.
But you looked like that.
I would look like this. It would be, okay, this guy's from Yuba City. Because I'm from Yuba City.
YC. Yeah.
But my dad's very, you know, happy to be an Italian-American.
Proud Italian,
His dad's name was Franklin Delano Cardicelli.
Oof. He's definitely from New York.
My dad's name is Michael Angelo, and I'm Franklin Angelo. So it's like very and by the way, never been to Italy.
Of course
not. Right, right.
Been to New York a couple times. And I did have some family that did live out there for a period of time, which, you know, was cool, but I'm a Yuba City guy.
You make a mean antipasto?
I do make some good pasta. Make some good pasta. Not antipasta, but I do make some good pasta.
Okay.
I'm just saying, isn't there a look?
I agree.
I could see somebody and say, you're from New York.
I don't have any prejudice, so no.
So if his name was Mark Smith, like he said, or whatever,
Think I would still feel, I wouldn't be as confident. Because you can't be more confident than Frankie
Cardicelli. Can you say the last name?
Cardicelli.
Okay.
I did ask.
Our old friend. Remember our old friend Morgan Reagan?
Yeah, that drop is somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Let's see.
If you find it, let me know. But she really, I knew her for months, and she butchered my name.
She completely butchered.
Over and over.
It just, you know.
It was worse, because she was like, oh my, like, we're so lucky to have, like, such great content people. Yeah. Like, our guy Frankie Casparelli, like, it's great.
That's the thing. No, like,
that person is still from New York, though.
Yeah. Being friends with people and, like, not being able to say your last name is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm friends with you for a while and it's like, oh, right. Chris. Ah, good to see you, Chris.
Yeah. No, but how many times are you saying, hi, Chris Watkins?
Well, never, I guess, because his last name, I guess that's not a good example.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, when you differentiate, you know, especially with Chris's, it's like, you almost have to know their last name.
It's not even that difficult. Now, once I learned, Frankie Cardicelli, and then I did call
you
Franco.
Spell it?
But,
yeah, no.
That's fine.
We won't get there.
I am a good speller, besides cauliflower. All right, as we talk Kings, Sacramento Kings, I asked a question, and if you were listening to The Drive Guys yesterday, it got a little hot in here, and as you may hear me and Chris talk about, it's normally a little chilly in the studio, but it was a little blazing.
Yeah.
It was a little spicy on a Wasabi Wednesday, a little spicy between the Drive guys talking about what could change and who should be benched and who needs to continue to play. So I want to get both of your thoughts on that. Me personally, I've already said that I don't want to see Davion start tonight. I'm ready to see Malik Monk. I'm ready for that, because it can't get any worse than a 40 burger to the Rockets. So that's how I feel. Besides that, I just don't know who else could ride Pine, because everybody else isn't playing well. And you joked, Alan, are you about to say JaVale for Sabonis? No, I'm not trying to say that. That's the thing. You're kind of stuck, right?
Yeah.
You're stuck everywhere else. Would you like to see any changes? You said it's still early on, so they continue to rock with Davion and the gang. What should the Kings do?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, from what the personnel that is available, that's the only move you can make. If you're going to make one change or any change, Malik in the starting lineup, it seems like a good idea, in my opinion. I mean, that's how I feel. I think that the skill set that Malik Monk has and De'Aaron Fox has, you know, they're different in a couple of ways, sure, or a lot of ways, but Malik Monk's ability to create off the dribble, to find teammates, he's been a very good passer over the last two seasons with the Kings and with the Lakers. His number's like doubled. He's a dynamic scorer. The Kings missed their dynamic scorer out of the backcourt. And right now, both of their guards, Davion Mitchell and Kevin Huerter, are struggling. And I don't know if it gets to that point. Mike Brown is kind of stubborn when it comes to lineup changes, and he is a believer in the five on the floor at the end of the game are more important than the five at start. There's been an argument and some discourse
not
on social
on
media about that, too.
Not on Monday.
No, there's been, like, and it's a valid argument. Like, the 48 minutes all matter. Like, every one of the 48 minutes matters. So if you start someone and your starter just, you know, lay an egg in the first 7 minutes, that could hurt you. And it did hurt them. Yeah. I mean, it didn't really matter, I guess, in the end because they got completely ragdolled. But I think when you look at Trey Lyles, like, if he was playing and he was healthy, and the Trey Lyles we know, maybe there was a discussion, like, maybe Harrison Barnes and Trey Lyles at some point, because I've talked to Chris about it maybe before.
Yeah.
I think the show started.
Yep.
That I think that the long-term plan, in my opinion, is that Harrison Barnes will be a bench piece in the next two, three seasons. He's on a three-year deal. Ideally, the Kings want to upgrade that position. So whether it be by going to the bench or a trade, I feel like that would be the long-term plan. Because you need, in my opinion, again, a four or three that can be dynamic. Look at the Pascal Siakams, OG Anunobis. Those are the popular ones, but someone that can play alongside Keegan Murray. There's no one there that can fill that hole right now or fill that void. The only move you can make is Malik Monk or Davion Mitchell, and that kind of feels like the Kings are, you know, they have their hands tied right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can just, I'll build upon that because I completely agree with everything you said. Like, I think that's, when you look at the guys who even can be replaced, to your point, you got the 6'8s, as somebody in the chat called them the other day, Harrison and Keegan. The Kings don't really have anybody else to go to realistically. And it was kind of the, I wouldn't say problem, but it was a conversation that we had in the playoffs as well of, okay, Keegan's struggling. Okay, Harrison's struggling. The problem is there's nobody on the bench that realistically has earned that starting spot. And that's not the case with how many great guards the Kings have this year. Like, Davion's struggling. There's a list of great guards on the Kings bench who make sense to put in, whether it be Malik, whether it be Colby Jones, who's produced, whether it be Chris Duarte entering for Kevin Huerter, or even Keon Ellis can enter the chat as well. Like, I think the difference with replacing Harrison or Keegan, or why it makes the most sense to look at Davion as the one that's out, or even Kevin Huerter as the one who steps out, is just because of the guys that can potentially replace them actually makes sense entering the starting unit. It doesn't make a lot of sense that Harrison Barnes scored 3 points yesterday, so we're going to go with Sasha Vezenkov, who has also struggled and hasn't really shown.
If he was on a heater, starting lineup, we could have that conversation.
Exactly, sure. Exactly. And it's just nobody on the bench at those other positions has really played well enough to warrant entering the starting unit.
There's really nobody. I mean, Colby Jones has played well and Keon Ellis played well. I don't think anybody else is really playing well right now for the Sacramento Kings, which is honestly an insane thing to say.
Crazy.
I don't think anybody else is playing well. Sabonis had a bad couple of games. He got bullied down low by Şengün, who I think you're a big Şengün guy, aren't you? Yes. Or is that Brendan? Yeah. Brendan, too, I think.
Brendan's bigger than I am. But
my goodness, that guy is going to be really good. And we kind of got to see that in full force the other night. But it's very, and I guess to kind of bring it back together with some positives, that could be a good thing in the long run, because, or the short term, because the Kings need, they have a lot of room for improvement. Like, these guys are all playing horrible. So tonight, I mean, if you shoot 35% from three, that's a step forward.
That's what I've been saying on the post games. I'm like, if there's any positive, it's that they're shooting so bad that they cannot literally continue to shoot this bad unless they're going to be just a historically terrible team. Odds are that there's going to be some pendulum shift to the other side that evens everything
out. If Keegan goes 2-for-6 from three tonight, his three-point percentage will go up. That's a fact.
That's wild.
That's insane.
But
step
I believe
forward.
It. But I believe it. Frankie, before we get you out of here, do you have any type of update? And like we said, definitely didn't want to see De'Aaron Fox today because you shouldn't need him. No disrespect to the Blazers, but do you have an update on De'Aaron and when we will see him back on the court?
Or Trey Lyles.
Or Trey Lyles, because what the heck is going on there?
Yeah. I mean, Trey, the last time we saw him, and again, there wasn't practice yesterday. Our colleague Brendan Nunes is at shoot-around right now. They usually don't give us updates at that point. Could be wrong. I'm not seeing anything right now. But De'Aaron Fox doing some on-court work in Houston, which bodes well. He looked a lot more mobile. He definitely had a limp when we saw him last, getting some on-work practice, kind of doing some stationary shooting. But I know he wants to come back, and it seemed like that was more to kind of, you know, we saw Rasay Fox on social media saying that he wants to come back for you guys, as in the fans. And I think that when the fans kind of went out and said, hey, like, take the time to rest, I hope that he took that to heart because the Kings need him long term. Yeah. So he's working his way back. I wouldn't expect he's out too long. Trey Lyles was doing some return to competition conditioning, and he looked like he was really getting after it. He was out of breath during the last time he talked to the media, like really getting after it. So I think they're being really cautious with the calf strain because that really can take a long time to heal if you don't let it fully, you know, heal and come back at 100%. So my guess is these guys will both be back in the next week. I mean, hopefully before Friday, right? Because that's a big game. Or is it a big game? It depends.
Tournament.
Depends on how you look at it.
I mean, it's a big game because them boys are not messing around in OKC. I like that team a lot. That's a very similar situation to the Kings, to be completely honest, and a little younger.
For sure, for sure. But the point is, these guys are not far off. I mean, there hasn't been any news of setbacks. It's just a matter of can they get to the point where they're healthy and they're not going to have this be a prolonged injury, because that's the last thing the Kings need. But the fact that it's this early in the year, use that to your advantage and get right. I mean, the Kings aren't in a crazy hole right now. They're 2-4 through six games.
So. Yeah. Got to get to a break. That was Frankie Cardicelli.
Thank you.
I was with Franco there, which would have been okay. Thank you, Frankie.
Frankie Cascarelli.
There it is.
Frankie Cascarelli.
Thanks, Morgan.
Sacktown Sports Kings Insider. Follow Frankie on Twitter or X. He does great work for us. We'll be right back talking about what you will do if the Blazers win. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., 10th official show. Ooh. Thank you to Frankie Cardicelli. Of course, I nail it as he leaves.
I know, as he's gone.
I still like Franco, though.
Franco's great.
I think I'm going to rock with Franco. Frankie will be in the building tonight, getting even more information and taking it all in, as you will be in the building tonight as well. I'm taking the night off. I will be watching on the television. Oh, you know
why?
Well,
you got to be there for your baby's first beam.
Baby's first beam got to be there. And you know why I am not going tonight, on top of it being the JV Blazers.
Big Anthony Simons guy?
I am a big Anthony Simons guy, actually. That was another guy I would compare to Jordan Poole and Tyler
Hero. Oh, for sure.
Tyrese Maxey, all in the same pile. Yeah.
He's like a pocket pool.
I know you just have the dogs and cats at this point in your life, but for those wondering, we are introducing solids tonight to the six-month-old.
Really?
Got some sweet potatoes, going to boil those up, mix them up, and it's a big deal.
I can imagine.
So be introducing solids and hopefully watching our first beam tonight as a family.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I haven't even thought about that as like a process of having
a child. I never did
either.
Yeah. I just thought it really is a big day.
Like, it makes sense. But how do you prepare for that? Like, did you do some research?
The pediatrician, which we need to find a new one now that we're up here, but the pediatrician says, hey, it's about that time, 6-7 months, you'll be able to tell. And, you know, you really can tell because she just stares you down while you're eating food.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like a dog at that point.
Yeah, it's like, come on, dude. You're sitting here eating tacos and burritos right in front of my face. Can I get a little something here?
Nah, just that mush.
Yes, you know, it's better than what, you know, it's an upgrade. So introducing solids tonight. So that is my party night.
Good. Does that involve luck? Should I say good luck with
that? I don't know.
Like,
apparently, not to get too graphic. Apparently.
Yeah, probably later,
once
that's
you,
the problem.
Yeah, like, we're going to figure out how it went later in the evening or tomorrow morning. So that's what I got planned.
Okay.
I will keep you in
Big
the loop.
Day.
I will keep you in the loop. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. And one thing I will say quickly, and I wasn't looking at your phone, right? I wasn't.
Okay.
So me and Chris have talked because I am a super texter. I will text you back extremely quick.
Yes.
Chris is the opposite.
I'm trying to be better.
Chris,
can I
you
say
have
that
been
I'm
better.
Trying to
and
be
I just
better
say,
for you.
I just want to say, we were sitting at the game, right? It was the Laker game. Uh-huh. And I'm just, you know, it's a tight
Very
space.
Tight
we're right
spaces,
on top of each other.
Yeah.
And I happen to glance over at your phone. Chris, I saw 46 messages and you gave me anxiety, man. What is this?
How much do I have? I only have 16 right now, if it helps.
How?
Can I tell you what even makes it so much worse?
What?
Is that like probably 30 of those were happy birthday texts that I just never got to.
Wow.
And it's like, my aunts, like I'm talking, you know, friends that, you know, I see sporadically and I definitely, you know, should
Come
try
on,
and
man.
Keep more tabs on and stuff like that.
You gonna respond still?
No, I decided that it was too far gone. Like, it would have felt weird if, like, you know, my birthday was on Thursday, if on like Sunday morning I was like, thank you.
I've done it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hit. Because honestly, it all stemmed from an initial wave of anxiety where it's like, okay, like, I'm getting all these birthday texts. Am I really going to, like, personally, oh, thank you so much, auntie. Like, you're my favorite. You've been there for me through all these years. Or do I just hit you with the thanks so much and just hit everyone with like the thumbs up?
Yeah, you
and
gotta
then,
do
like,
more than
what
thumbs.
Is too much? You gotta do more than so thumbs. That's why,
yeah, and you know, and I don't know if this happened to you as well. And I don't think a lot of people change numbers too often, but you know, getting this new gig and having the baby and getting married, I'm still getting texts from numbers that I don't know.
Yes,
and I just feel too bad to say. To fake it and say new phone, who dis, right? So I just say thanks. Thank you, because I don't know if it's a man or woman. Yep. I just say thank you, hope all is well, and I have no clue. And there's a specific number that will continue to hit me up, and I'm
only
pretty
on big
sure,
occasions.
I'm pretty sure I know who it is, but I'm avoiding it. The last question I have, and this is for the group actually,
yes,
and I promise we'll get to sports right after this. But the last question I have, and this goes to Nate too and you. Because I was moving, right? Mm-hmm. And I put this on Twitter as well. How do you feel about cards? Like, I feel really bad throwing away cards, birthday cards.
Sure.
Oh.
Congratulatory cards, right? I don't know what to do with them. I don't want to rip them up because that feels disrespectful. Throwing them away feels disrespectful.
Displaying them is not the answer
either.
It's
too late now.
It's like,
what do you do with cards?
It's not good decoration. Nate?
Yeah.
I feel like I already know
what here's
Nate does.
Well, no. So my birthday is right next to Christmas, 4 days apart. Mm. So a lot of cards at the same time, it can be overwhelming. I've started recently. It's like a folder. You go, what's that briefcase thing you open up? And it's got tabs for each section or what?
Sure.
Whatever. It's like
a briefcase.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's whatever.
An organizer.
It's a trapper keeper.
Sure. There you go.
I have a section just for cards now because I feel like if I go back in 20 years and look at those, I'll be like, you know what, Ma, it's really nice that you, that's what I call my grandma, it's really nice that you took time out of your day to write a letter to one of your 26 grandkids.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
See, maybe that's the responsible
way. Maybe I need to get more organized because it's making the trip. I got my first Father's Day card from my wife and my mom. I can't throw that away.
Right. But also,
it's just in my backpack right now, crumpled up.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, yes, what Nate's doing is probably the best thing that you could do. It's probably like the most sentimental. And, you know, if you were to tell somebody who sent you a card that, they would be like, wow,
he's
that's
in the minority,
so sweet.
Though. Let's just be clear.
But also, it's like, that's a little bit of hoarding, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it is.
And what, I'm sorry, like, Nate, great story. Like, makes sense, totally.
No,
But at the same time, like, are you really ever going to look back at those?
Maybe. I don't know.
Every time I try to move. And they come up
again
because
they're
just going everywhere with me.
The possibilities there, though.
I appreciate
it. It's more of a thought that counts kind of situation. But the problem is it's not a thought. It's a physical item that takes up space in your tiny apartment in Antelope that you live in with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to everyone who's ever written me a note, but like, you know.
Cards,
man. Are they really like, you know.
Get e-cards. You know, everyone, you still got a handwrite.
Yeah.
The e-cards at this point. Got to get to
a letter.
How about a letter? Dear John.
Yeah.
Got to get to a break when
we
get
back. We got food downstairs.
Okay.
We got food downstairs.
We
got
to go. We got to get out of here. Got to get to a break when we get back. If the Kings lose, is it time to panic? And what will Chris and I and Nate do if that's the case? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.